Okay, we are holding on Lamed Hey Omid Beis, about 12 lines or so from the bottom, landing in the Itmar. Okay, we discussed in the Mishnah, we had two different cases involving shepherds, whether they're trust, whether we can believe them to say that a mum happened on its own, or whether we have to suspect that maybe he made it. We said that Roya Yisrael are trusted and Roya Koyanim are not, and we had two different understandings of what that means. Does Roya Yisrael and Roya Koyanim mean respectively the shepherd himself or the Yisrael working on behalf of a Koyan, or a Koyan working on behalf of the Yisrael? Or is it the other way around? Roya Yisrael would be a Koyan working for Yisrael, and Roya Koyan would be a Yisrael working for a Koyan. So we discussed, we had two opinions in the Gemara about that. Then we had, back in the Mishnah, we had Rav Shimon Gamliel saying that a Koyan can be trusted about somebody else's Bechor, but not about his own. And we had Rav Meir said that no, somebody who's suspect about something, such as a Koyan, who we assume is always suspect that he may make a mum in the Bechor, then we can't trust him to ever give aids about it. Well, we hadn't gotten to the halacha yet. Itmar, so now we're going to discuss that. Itmar, so now we have a discussion of Amarovim. Rav Nachman Amar Halacha Kereb Shimon Gamliel, Rava Amar Halacha Kereb Yosi. Rav Nachman says that the halacha is like Kereb Shimon Gamliel, Rava says the halacha is like Rav Yosi. Now, Rav Yosi we didn't have in the Mishnah, Rav Yosi we had in a Braisa, where Rav Yosi had said that anybody who's a member of the Kohen's household is not able to give aid on it. Whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel said even his son, even his daughter could. A person doesn't do an Aveda where it's not going to benefit him directly. There's that concept. Einonim choyte v'loy loy, that you have many times we say that a person might be willing to do an Aveda where he himself stands to gain something from it, not where it's on behalf of somebody else necessarily. Okay, the question is, when we omar Rava Hachi, did Rava actually say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi, and therefore that the family members of the Koyan are not trusted to say that the mum happened on its own, because maybe they did it? V'ha'amar Rava, didn't Rava say, Bailim omdim imonu b'chutz, that if the owner of the animal is standing outside the house with us, nichnas shalim, and then the animal, the b'chor, goes in intact, without a mum, v'yotza chobol, it comes out with damage to it, it comes out with something that is a mum, me'idin olav, then we can give edus on it. Now the question is, apparently the point is, well, as long as the owner himself is outside, that since he himself was outside, he obviously didn't make a mum. Apparently, then, therefore, the point is that somebody who's in the house is able to give aegis, that the mum happened on its own. So, therefore, that would mean not like Rav Yosi. So, the coincidence of Rav Yosi, any member of the household is not trustworthy on it. The answer is, Ema kol bailam oimdin. Okay, you have to change the wording a little bit. Not bailam oimdin, but kol bailam oimdin. All of them, which means it actually gives two explanations of that. One is that it means that not only the Balabas himself, but his whole family happened to be standing outside. The only one inside was the shepherd. And then fine, so we're saying the shepherd can be trusted about it.
And only somebody is outside.
When the whole family is outside, whereas when there's somebody in the house, then fine, the shepherd might still be trusted, but the point is we can't trust any of the members of the household to give aid on it.
What do we suspect?
We suspect that one of them may have made the mum. That's what Rabbi Yosi is saying. That anybody who's a member of the family is suspect, just like the Kohen himself, that they may have made them. Rashi gives a second explanation, which is kol bailam imonu is, again, it still means that everybody is outside, but then what it means is that you don't even necessarily need a shepherd inside. They can give aiders. Look, okay, you know, the fact that it went in when nobody was there means that it's okay. It means obviously none of them made it. No, we said before that we had an opinion in the Mishnah that said that shepherds who are Koyanim are not trusted. We're talking over here, we're asking, is Rava saying the halacha is like Rav Yosi, where Rav Yosi had not said anything about shepherds. Rav Yosi had said that the members of the household, the members of the family are not trustworthy, but a shepherd could be.
Didn't we see that that's a general law, that shepherds are not?
So there is a concept, right? Sometimes we say that shepherds, roye behemadaka, people who raise small animals, right? We don't trust them on gezel. This isn't a matter of gezel. This is a matter of iser behetcher. Okay, but anyway, fine. So we're talking about the kind of shepherd who's not particularly suspect about that, let's say. Okay. Anyway, so the question is, if that's what Rava is saying, that all the owners are outside, So the question is, and then you're going to say v'loy chashin, and then there's no chash. Well, the question is, yachamayla memra. Then what's the chiddush? Obviously, in that case, that if you don't have any member of the household inside the house, then yeah, what's the problem? The answer is Maud came and Nechush Lachashta. Still, we might have to suspect. Still, you might have thought if it weren't for Rava's statement. Yes, he's saying the halacha is like Rav Yossi, but he's clarifying the statement by mentioning that all the family is outside and still it's a chiddush because you would think maybe we should still worry about chashad. What's the chashad? Rashi explains in the first explanation where we had that the shepherd was inside. Maybe after all, it was the shepherd that did it. And so Rava is telling us, according to Rav Yossi, you don't have to worry about that. According to the second explanation of Rashi, the chashad is that maybe somebody in the household did something ahead of time to make sure that this animal would get a mum when it goes indoors. For example, he put a fig on its ear so the dog will bite it off. Or for example, he dug a pit in the house so the animal will fall into it. So we don't have a chashad about that. That's the chiddush of Rava. And Tosfos says a third possibility. Maybe we should be choshed. Maybe, or at least people are going to be choshed, that maybe after all, one of the members of the household was still inside. Maybe not everybody came out. So that's Rava's chiddush. Kamash Malon, that we don't have to worry about any of those things. However,
something we should not worry about these things.
Because even Rabbi Yossi, fine, Rabbi Yossi,
we said that we do worry.
We have to worry about some things, but Rabbi Yossi is saying that it doesn't matter how many people there are in the household, none of them are trustworthy about it. But here, where they're all outdoors, Rabbi is telling us, you don't have to worry about maybe one of them, maybe people are going to suspect that one of them stayed indoors because he didn't. They were all outdoors. Or maybe we should suspect one of them dug a pit in order that the Bechor should get injured, whatever, we're not worried about those things. Anyway, the Gemara says, V'hilch sakirib shimben gamil. The halacha, anyway, is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, not like Rav Yossi. That even his family members are trusted about it. Afilu b'noy, afilu b'toy. And therefore, v'davka b'noy b'toy. Now, that only applies to his son or his daughter are trustworthy, the Kohen. Abel ishtoy loy, but not his wife. If she says that the Bechor developed a mum on its own, that we can't trust. My time at ishtoy k'gufay dami, because we have a concept in halacha that a person's wife, that a man's wife is like his own body. So just like he himself can't give edus on this, neither can she. Because he himself can't because he has an interest, and she's considered to be part of his one body, and therefore they can't. Now, when we say over here the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, a couple of interesting points about that. First of all, again, we had at the beginning of the Gemara, we had the two explanations of our Mishnah. Were we saying that shepherds who are Kohanim are not trustworthy when even when they're working for Yisrael? Or are we saying that shepherds who are Kohanim who are working for Yisrael are trustworthy? So actually, the Rambam, so you had the two different explanations. The Rambam understands like the first opinion, which therefore the result is that, and the Rambam apparently understands that Rav Shimon Gamliel is not necessarily arguing with that point. He's only arguing with the case where you have a shepherd is a Kohen and the owner of the animal is a Kohen. Because we said the concern is that the Kohen is likely to think that the Yisrael is going to give him the animal because, look, I worked so hard for him, he kind of owes it to me. So therefore, apparently the Rambam learns that Rav Shimon Gamliel doesn't argue with that point. He agrees with that point. Rav Shimon Gamliel would agree with that point, so the Kohen would still be not trustworthy on it. Only when you have the owner is a Kohen, where then he doesn't have to give it to another Kohen, he can keep it himself, then we can say that Rav Shimon Gamliel says that a Kohen is trustworthy to give Avis on it. So that's how the Rambam when you have a Kohen working for Yisrael, the Rambam would learn that's no good. You can't trust him to say that the mum happened on its own, but when a Kohen is working for a Kohen, then you could. That's the Rambam. The Ramban argues with that on various grounds, among them that we have two Lashonis, why the Rambam does specifically picking the first one. And therefore the Ramban says, no, we can say that even Rav Shimon Gamliel would be arguing even in that case and says that he can be trusted because not his own animal. In Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber Paschim.
The shepherd, yeah.
So therefore, the Mechaber Paschim is like the Rambam, and therefore it's strict about that. The Ramah brings the Ramban's opinion, and therefore is more lenient. So I guess it would probably be an Ashkenazim versus Sfardim thing nowadays. Sfardim would have to be Machmer, Ashkenazim could be Mekel. That's one thing. Another interesting point is if we're saying the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, now we have the opinion of Rav Meir, which now we're going to discuss in the Gemara, who said that anybody who's suspect about something, about doing a particular avera, is not kosher to give eders about it. The question is, when we say the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, is he arguing on that point as well? Or does he agree in general that that's the case? And only in this case, he's saying that's because, after all, it's not his own animal. So therefore, said that also ends up being a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam understands it to be a general thing. Once we say that, we don't say the halacha is choshed al adavar leidon ez alamida. If it's not his own animal, we say enon plote b'leilai. Therefore, not only as far as bechor, but in various other areas of halacha, as far as meister and as far as other cases, then we trust him. For a Schmidt or whatever, and the Raiva disagrees in each of those places and says that no, the halacha may well be like Rameir as far as that, as far as the general concept of choshed al adavar leidon ez alamida. In this particular case, when we're talking about that, we're talking about, for example, a kohen working for another kohen, then fine, you know, he has no stake in it, so therefore, yeah.
Right.
He
could still have a stake when he works for another kohen.
No, because the first kohen himself can keep it. But that's taking care of another kohen before. That's what we mean. So that Ivan understands it that way. We're not saying in general that choshed al adavar don yom yidei, the halacha that Ivan learns generally would be like a mayor. In the specific thing we're talking about over here about a bechor, then the halacha is like a chimney. Omer le Papa Abaye. So now Rav Papa asks Abaye, we have a basic problem with the mayor's opinion. According to the mayor, that if somebody is suspect about being over on a particular thing, then he can't judge a case involving that particular issue, and he can't give edus on it. Well then, and furthermore, because the mayor, we also have something that the mayor said at the end of the previous parak on Daf Lamed. We said that the end of the third parak. Actually, by now we're it was in the fourth parak, and now we're in the fifth. Yeah. At the end of the fourth parak, we said that a mayor held hachoshed l'davar echad hachoshed l'chol ha-tarakola, that a mayor said if somebody is suspect about being over on one iser, then he's suspect on the whole Torah. So would that mean, koyanim hachinami d'le'dayni dina? Are you telling me then that koyanim would never be able to judge a din Torah? Well, you have a pasuk that says, v'al piyam yeh kol ri b'chol nora. No, in general, if a mayor is saying, once a mayor is saying that in general, koyanim are koshered to put a mum on a bechor.
I'll ask you that question.
Okay, so now we're going
to
get
to it. You answered me, if this applies only to this.
No. But that's if we say only the opinion of a mayor in our Mishnah. But now we have to take into consideration, there's also a mayor's opinion in the previous parak, that in general, when you have somebody who's koshered on one mitzvah, then he's koshered the whole Torah kula. So how does that work then? Does that mean that a koyan, once we're establishing that he's koshered to make a mum in a bechor, then it means he's koshered the whole Torah kula, and therefore we can't judge a din Torah? Doesn't the pasuk say that according to the Kohanim's words should be any din Torah or any case of Negoyim, any case of Torah? When it comes to a din Torah, it doesn't mean only a Kohen can judge them, but it means other things being equal, there should be Kohanim sitting on the Sanhedrin and on a base din if possible.
So a matter of Torah,
if you have to show it to a Kohen, he's the only one who can declare it Tomei or Tahor, and if he doesn't know the halach. No, that din, riv, and noga, they're two different things. But the point is that we see the Torah is telling us that Kohanim are expected to judge to judge dinei Torah and pass dinei halacha. So how does that work? So how does that work? The interesting point, actually, that Meforshim made, that Achronim make on this, why couldn't the Gemara have answered, okay, maybe midaraisa that they're able to, but midrabanan, and we have a chashav that there came a point when the Chachamim are concerned that they're suspect to make a mum in Bechorim. And the interesting answer is, the Taz mentions a concept in Or HaChaim, in Hilchos Shofar, and in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, that says if you have something that Torah was matu explicitly, then the Chachamim don't have the ability to declare it also. So here, if you have an explicit pasuk that says Kohanim are supposed to judge Dinei Torah, then you couldn't have a Din D'Rabbanan that would overrule that. So the question is, how does that work? The answer is...
Well, the Torah says you're going to blow the shofar.
That's fine. Shev Bal Tasa is different. But even then, as the Chacham are not saying don't blow a shofar at all. They're just saying don't blow it on Shabbos. The pasuk doesn't say in so many words. Fine, but the pasuk doesn't say in so many words blow it on Shabbos. If the pasuk had said explicitly blow it on Shabbos, then they couldn't make a zera. But because it just says blow a shofar, then fine, you can blow it on a weekday. You can blow it on a second day, Rosh Hashanah. Okay, anyway, the answer is, the Gemara says, Eimer d'omer Rameir l'chashasha. Okay, but you know what? Look, Rameir is only saying over here that you have a chashash, you have a concern that the person is going to make a mumin of her. L'achzukinu mi'omer. He never said they have a chazaka of making a mumin of her. Therefore, when he says choshur b'davar echad, choshur l'chol ha-tarakola, it's a different sense of choshur than we're talking about over here. Choshur over here means only to the extent that we don't accept his aiders on it. We don't automatically assume he did it. We just can't accept his aiders. However, only... But when we say choshed b'davar echad, choshed b'chol ha-Torah kula, the principle from the previous parak, that means if we actually have a chazaka that he's being over on a particular issue, then we say he's choshed b'chol ha-Torah kula.
That's again a point
that I... So that's the point. In other words, that there's two different kinds of chashad over here. There's chashad as in we by default we assume a kohen is suspect of making a mum on a candle as a presumption, but unless we actually saw him do it, unless we have evidence do it, that he did it, only then do we say he's kosher b'chol
ha'torah kolah. So then for Bakar, this needs to be evidence.
So without evidence, we still don't trust his agents on it, but we still trust him to judge Dinei Torah and to pass in halacha in other areas of halacha.
And he can never pass in that area?
Well, according to the mayor, no. The halacha is not like a mayor. Again, well, that depends who you ask. According to the Rambam, the halacha is not like a mayor. According to the Ravid, in many other cases, the halacha is like a mayor, just over here as far as the Bukhar now. Yeah. Okay. All right. So now we have a question. Are you allowed to have hearsay evidence to be matter of Bukhar? So Reuven saw that it developed a mum. He tells Shimon, and Shimon comes, and Shimon being the owner of the animal. And, Reuben himself could be an aide, but whatever. The point is that Shimon didn't see it himself, but he wants to come to Beis Din and tell them. Is that acceptable? So, Rav Asi, also Rav Ashi Shori, says over here on the side. That's the question. So, is it aide me aide kosher? The question is hearsay evidence kosher? In some cases in halacha, hearsay evidence is acceptable. Mind you, actually, you have a chronim that point out that in general, in Dine Isser Beheter, most of the time we're allowed to accept aid mipi aid. For example, you buy something in the store and it has a hechsher on it. What's your grounds for eating it? Did you personally see them supervise? No, it's an effect, aid mipi aid, yet you're allowed to eat it. No, but it's kind of amounts to it. But the point is that when it comes to Dini Issa Behetu, usually Eid Mipi Eid is no problem. But the question is, over here, since you need, as we're going to say later, you need a mumcha or whatever, so maybe it's a different guess. Okay. So Rav Asi also Rav Ashi Shari. It says on the side over here, it's really supposed to be Rav Ami also Rav Asi Shari. Whatever, Machlokas Rav Ami and Rav Asi, whether it's mutter or not. By Eid Mipi Eid, by Bukhar. How can you say that aid me pa, that hearsay evidence would be kosher to be matter of her? Well, Hatana Dvei Menashe, didn't the yeshiva of Menashe teach a braisa, ain aid me pa kosher elola edus isha? That hearsay evidence is only acceptable for edus isha. Edus isha usually means the edus that's needed to be matter a woman to be married. So you have her husband disappeared. We don't know what happened to him. You have hearsay evidence that he died. You can use that to be matter her, but that's the only case apparently. So what are you telling me? It's acceptable by Bukhar. The answer is Tony, you have to change the wording of the braisa, or not really change the wording, but reinterpret it. Edus ha'isha doesn't mean necessarily edus to be matter a woman. It means elola edus ha'isha k'sherol abavad. When is aid mipi aid acceptable? When it's the type of aidus for which a woman is kosher. In this case, we learned before, we said Rav Shimon Gamliel says even his son, even his daughter is acceptable. We just said not his wife, because it's shtigui gofer. But in other words, a woman is just the same as a man as far as this goes. Therefore, Tanit Vei Menashe's rule is saying any time that we accept a woman's evidence as far as a din and halacha, then we can also, in such a case, accept aid mipi aid. Here we can accept a woman's testimony that the mum happened on its own. Therefore, aid mipi aid is also kosher.
Anytime we accept a woman's agus,
then we can also accept aid mipi
aid.
Yes. And that's in fact the halacha. Yeah, okay, so wait. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yemar asher aid mipi aid b'b'chor. Rabbi Yemar one time actually did that. He passed in on the basis of aid mipi aid and was master of b'chor. Kori alei meremar, Yemar shori b'chor. But meremar, one of the other chachamim at that time, said about him in a derogatory tone of voice, Yemar, the one who was master b'chor. And it was like as if to say, you didn't do right. That's being maple too much. However, nevertheless, the hilchasa aid mipi aid kosher la'edus b'chor, the halacha is like Rav Yemar and like Rav Ashi, that yes, it is kosher.
Give me an example, for instance.
So an example of aid mipi aid would be, for example, Reuven saw that it developed a mum on its own. He went and told Shimon. Shimon takes the animal and goes to the chacham to be matir it. So the chacham asks him, so how did it get the mum? He says, I heard from Reuven that it tripped over a rock or whatever.
And then
it would be kosher.
And then if Shimon's wife, Shimon's cousin, let's say, was a woman, would testify.
So we're saying the same thing. If, for example, Shimon's wife, again, we're talking about, let's assume that Shimon and, let's assume, for example,
his sister,
let's say. So if Shimon's sister instead saw it trip over a rock,
right.
And then she comes and she takes the animal, yeah, same thing. Okay. Omer of Ila. Here's another thing. Suppose that previously we didn't have a chazaka that this particular animal was a bechor. We didn't know that it was a bechor. Then somebody comes and tells us, you should know this animal was a bechor. However, it happened to it on its own. So now he's coming to a chacham with the question. Rashi says, so fine, that it has a mum, we know. The question he's asking the chacham is this a permanent mum which now will allow us to shech the bechor, or is it a temporary mum and therefore not? So the din is nemon, we trust him. And because hapesha also, we trust even if we're talking about a kohen. So the kohen comes with an animal to a chacham. We didn't know, nobody knew before that this animal was a bechor. And he comes to the chacham and says, I have this animal, which is a bechor. I see it has a mum. Can you tell me if it's mum kavua or mum oiver? Did it happen on its own, or did you do it? He says it happened on its own. We can trust him. Why? Because Apesha also, who Apesha hit you. We didn't even know it was a bechor and that it was also without him saying so. And now he's also saying.
He has an interest.
That's fine. Nevertheless, Apesha also, Apesha hit you, is a powerful thing because he didn't have to say anything. That's the point. We're going to develop. It's sort of like a migoy, although in a way even stronger, but yeah. So the question is, my kamash malon. So what is Rabbi Ila? What's the chiddush that Rabbi Ila is telling us? That we say this concept, if we didn't know that something previously was also, and then someone tells us it was also, but now it's mutter, then it's mutter. Taneina, we learn in a Mishnah in Ksubas to that effect. If a woman comes to Beis Din and says, I was married when we didn't know before that she was married. I was married and now I'm divorced. Nemenes, we believe her, and she's allowed to remarry. Same thing. Shapesha also Shapesha hit her. Yeah, just based on that declaration. Yeah, because if we didn't know that she was married before, she could have just as well said, I was never married. So therefore, she's mutter to marry on that basis. So what is really
going to say just to get them married?
First of all, there's a concept that Gemara talks about in Yavam, it's called Isha Daiko Mintzava. That woman is going to be very careful when she gets married if she previously was married and didn't have a proper get, because she knows there's going to be all kinds of penalties if it's found out. But in general, you have a concept in halacha called Apesha Asu, Apesha Hitu. If we knew before that she was an Asia Ish, then fine, her statement that I'm a Grusha is not enough to be mad to her. But if we didn't know that she's an Asia Ish, and the only way we know is from her, well, the only way we know she's an Asia Ish is from her own words, and the only way we know she's a Grusha is also from her own words. So therefore, it cancels each other out, basically. The Gemara actually...
Because
she didn't have to say anything, exactly. The Gemara learns it over there from a pasuk, but yeah. Okay. So what's Rabbi Ilo's Kiddush? The answer is Mao de Tema, yeah, but if you only had the Mishnah and not Rabbi Ilo's statement, you would think to say, Hosem hu di boyoloi omra. Okay, the difference is there, Shitaka didn't have to say anything. If she could have just not said anything at all, and we would have assumed that she's an unmarried woman, that she was never married before. Abel hacha, but you could argue over here, deloi sagya deloi omra, after all, he has to say that it's a bechor, in order for the chacham to determine whether it's a mum kavua or not, because dekodshim b'chutz loy achol, because after all, if there's no mum in it at all, or it's a mum over, it's a temporary mum, then it's going to be an isur kares to shecht it and eat it outside of the mikdash. So maybe we could argue in that case he feels constrained to say that it's a bechor, and it's not a true case of a pesha aser, a pesha hetir. Aim a loy a pesha aser, so you would think maybe it's not a real case of a pesha aser, a pesha hetir. Because he might feel, I have no choice. I have to tell the chacham that it's a bechor in order for him to rule whether it's a mum kavua or a mum oiver. Because what's my alternative? I'm going to shecht it on the supposition that it might be a mum kavua, and if not, then I'm going to be doing something that's going to be chayav karet, shechting kodshim bachot.
As opposed to with the Aisha Fish,
where she doesn't have any of that constraint anyway. If it really is true that she's an Aisha Fish and Grusha, she doesn't have to say anything. So over here, he has to say it's a Bechor, because after all, he has to go to the Rav to find out whether it's a Mum or not. But we're talking about, again, over there, she knows all the facts. Assuming that she's telling the truth, she knows that she was an Aisha Fish, she knows that she was a Grusha. Therefore, there's no problem. Over here, this Koyan who's bringing this animal to the Chacham, he needs to know three things, and right now he only knows two. He knows it's a Bechor. He knows it's a Bechor. Fine, we didn't know that before. He knows that the Mum happened in it spontaneously. Fine, which, again, we didn't know before that. But there's a third detail he also needs to know, because a Mum Kavur or Mum Over, to know whether he's Chayav Karetz for it. And that he doesn't know without asking the Chacham. So the fact that there's that third factor maybe forces him to go to the Chacham and say it's a Bechor. So maybe it's not really a Pesha also a Pesha Hitter. Kamash Malan.
He has no incentive to say it.
He doesn't have to say anything, right. Kamash, right. Whereas over here on the face of it, he does. Kamash Malan, nevertheless, Rabbi Eloy is telling us that still it's allowed. Now, why is that? Because he has a different alternative. De'i mishum hachi, because if that was the only problem, that he just doesn't know whether this is the mum kavur or mum over, have a shodibi, mum adenikar, all he has to do is make it in a very obvious mum, v'achilei, and then he'd be able to eat it, because then he doesn't need to go and ask the Rav, is this a mum kavur or mum over? He could have gotten out of it without going to the Rav at all, just by making a very obvious mum in it, which is clearly a mum kavur, like cutting off a leg or something, and then he never needs to go and ask the Rav. So then we're back to that he only needs to know two, that there's two details that he's informing us, which we didn't know of before, and therefore Hapesha also Hapesha Hitcher still works. Okay. Maskifla Mabravashi, however, Mabravashi asks on that, Maishna, why would this case be different from the following case? Now, who Gavra de Ogule Chamra Lachavre? A person once rented a donkey to somebody else, but Amalei, and the owner of the donkey who's renting it out, says to the other guy, to the renter, Loi Tezel Be'urcha de Nahar Pekud, don't go on your trip by the road of Nahar Pekud, the Ika Maya, because there's water on the road there and the animal is likely to drown or otherwise to get injured or killed or whatever, yeah. Zil or slip or whatever, yeah. Zil Be'urcha de Neresh, rather go on the Neresh road, the Leka Maya, because there's no water over there. Well, in the event, what happened was Ozel ben Urcha de Nahar Pekud, the guy did end up going on the Nahar Pekud road, Umis Chamra, and the animal died. But also the Amalei comes back to the owner of the animal and he says, like this, but Urcha de Nahar Pekud Azi, okay, I did go against what you said, I did go on the Nahar Pekud road, but I should still be Potter, Umiu Maya Lihavu. However, there was no water over there. The animal died from something else. From some other unrelated cause, therefore it's Mesa Machmas Malacha, and therefore I should be Potter. So what's the din?
Whereas we know that the animal drowned.
No, we don't know the animal drowned. All it is comes back without the animal. You know, we know the animal died.
We don't know how yet.
So the Omar Rabba, so Rabba says in that Soviet involvement here, he says, Malo the Shaker. Why did he need to lie? Which is similar to Hapesha also Hapesha Hitter. It's a broadly similar concept that he didn't have to say anything at all. Not he didn't have to say anything at all. But he could have made a better claim, like a Migri, in other words. He could have said, I went on the Neresh road, and then he would have been for sure been Potter, because the Neresh road doesn't have water. V'omer Abaya, however, Abaya says that doesn't work because Malo the Shaker b'makom Edim layaminen. We don't say this concept Malo the Shaker when there were Edim contradicting him. Now here, we don't mean literally Edim. There were no Edim that saw him go on either road. But the fact that we know that the Nahar Pekud road always has water on it, that amounts to Edim. It's called Anan Sad. We can testify that road is always wet. So he's claiming against that this time it was dry. We can't take his word on that, says Abaya. Yes, if he had said he had gone on the Neresh road, we'd have no choice but to trust him because we don't have aegis to the contrary. But once he said, I went on the Nahar Pekud road, automatically that makes him higher because automatically we say this, that he's claiming that there was no water there. It can't be. We know for a fact there's always water over there. So the question is, in our case over here, applying that to our case over here, we know that Koyanim are suspect about that they're going to make a mum on an animal. So how does Hapesha also Hapesha Hitcher work in this case where we have a chashab that a Koyan is likely to do that? The answer is, the Gemara says, Hachi Hashta. Well, what kind of a comparison is that? Hosam Bade Ikamaya. Over there, we know for a fact there's always water on that road in Nahar Pekud.
No.
Right. Hosam, or Hocha, really, over here, over here, when we're talking about the question, did the Bekoyan make a mum in it? It's not a definite thing that he made a mum. It's a chashash. Or the ishdi be mum means he made a mum in it. Ish means literally placed. He placed him, he made a mum on it. Chashoshahu, that is only a chash. It's not a badai that he made a mum in it. Unlike with the Nahar Pekud situation, where it's a badai that there's water on the road. Over Mokum, chashoshah. Now, when there's only a chashash, we don't say that we're aided. We don't say a non-sadi. I'm reading Malay Lashakar. We can well say the rule of Malay Lashakar, that he didn't have to say anything, because, as we said before, he had a different way of getting the information. He had a way of bypassing the information that he needed from the Chacham. He could have just made a very obvious mum. So therefore, Rav Ila's din works. Rav Ila's din works, and it's not a contradiction with the story of the donkey and the harpoon. Okay. So the Gemara tells Yosef Ravina
v'ka'amalot.
If there wasn't always water there, then yeah, then he would have a rat. By the way, Tosfos points out over here, it's not necessarily Rava and Abaya. In any case, Rava himself holds Malo the Shaka Makam Adim Lamrinan. So Tosfos says it's really supposed to be Rava over here, was the one who gave the original plaque, and Abaya argued with him. Okay, fine. The Gemara says, Yosef Ravina v'ka'am alohai shmaita b'loi gavra. Ravina one time was sitting and saying over this original statement of Rav Ila's and the discussion about it, but he was saying it without mentioning the name of the one who said it. I guess he hadn't learned that Rav Ila had said it. Amale Rava Zuti L'Ravina. So Rava Zuti says to Ravina, you should know, Anan Mishmeid Rav Ila Masinama. You should know that we in our yeshiva say it over in the name of Rav Ila. And therefore, when Rav Ashi wrote the Gemara for us, and when Ravina and Rav Ashi wrote the Gemara, they put in Rav Ila's name where it belongs. Okay. Gemara told,
arguing.
No, then he's not arguing. He's informing Ravina of a fact. Beforehand, Ravina didn't know when he learned in the Bismedrish this concept that Hapesha also Hapesha here to work by her. But now, Rav Zuki tells him, you should know Rav Ila is the one who first said that. Okay. So here's a story. Rav Tzadik Havalei Bukhar, Rav Tzadik, who was a Kohen, he one time had an animal that was a Bukhar. Romalei Sairi Besalei, Nasri Kaili Arova Arova Klofa, it's like a few different Girsois mixed together. It's supposed to be basically Salin Etzorim Shal Arova Klofa. He gave it barley to eat, which is normal animal food, but he gave it to him, Sari means barley, Besalei Etzorim Shal Arova Klofa, in a basket made out of peeled willow branches. Now, those have sharp edges. Bahadi the Ka'achil, while the animal was eating out of the basket, Ibza Sifse, its lip got split, which, as we're going to learn in the next parak, is a moon. Yeah. So the question is, also Kamed Rav Yeshua, so Rav Tzadik came...
Like
a rubber, yeah. So the edges, you use our rubber branches and you cut our rubber branches into pieces and weave a basket out of them, and they have sharp edges, yeah.
Sharp points.
Well, yeah. Well, the sharp points are needed. You know, the sharp points are on the leaves. The leaves aren't hard enough.
The end of it.
Okay, maybe. Whatever. The point is, yeah. Okay. Anyway, the point is it made a mum in the animal. Also, the Kamei de Rav Yeshua. So the subject came to Rav Yeshua to ask the Shaila. Omalei, and he says to him, yes, it's true we know we've been talking the whole time that Koyanim are choshur to make a mum in a Bechor, and I'm a Koyan. However, the question is, Klum chilaknu ben chobr lama oret. Do we make a distinction in this halacha between a chaver, a talmud chacham, like myself, versus an ama aretz? We know in many areas of halacha we do make such a distinction. So is this one of them? Or do we say that, no, once we have a chashad on the kohenim, then it applies across the board? Amalei Rav Yeshua. Fine, that's true. And therefore, so that, fine, you need ethical standards. Right. Maybe, but on the other hand, we didn't actually say that a chaver, I mean, we said that a chaver is not allowed to be a moichis, fine, it's not allowed to be over on an explicit isur d'oraisa, gezel, but here we're talking about, here it might only be an isur d'rabbanan after the korban to make a mum, whatever, the point is that, so the question is, do we make an exception for a chaver? Amalei Rav Yeshua Hain, Rav Yeshua says, yes, we do make that distinction, you, the tzaddik, we know you would never make a mum in it deliberately, you're not going to be over on an isur, therefore it should be mutter for you. However, Rav Tzadik still was not completely satisfied with that. Rav Tzadik went to Rav Gamliel, and Rav Gamliel told him no. Now, why did he go to Rav Gamliel? One thing is, that's the other way around. Once a Rav gives you an answer that something is also, you're not allowed to go to another Rav and ask and try to get him. Here, it's the other way around, yeah. But one interesting point, Rav Yaakov Emden makes a point in his Kedushim in the back of the Masechta. He says, the vort is, usually when the Nasi is around, nobody else is supposed to be passing in Halacha anyway. So therefore, so in a way, it was out of line, really, for Rav Yeshua to be passing in that anyway. So therefore, Rav Tzadik wanted to be sure about it, therefore he went and asked Rav Gamliel, which would have been the right thing to do in the first place. Okay. And Rav Gamliel says to him, no, there's no distinction. A Chavar and Ama Aretz, it's all the same thing. You can't eat this Bechor. Omale, so Rav Tzadik says, V'horav Yeshua Omale Hein, how can you say no? Rav Yeshua told me yes. Omale, so Rav Gamliel tells him, Hamten ad sheyalu bale trisin the Beis HaMikdash. Wait until the bale trisin come into the Beis HaMikdash, and then we'll get this straightened out. Who are the bale trisin? Rashi explains it means the Talmud Chachamim. Bale trisin literally means the ones who hold shields. All over Shas, we have the metaphor of the Milchamta Shel Torah, the war of Torah, when this one is asking and this one is answering, whatever, like a war, but they're fighting against each other. So therefore, it pictures them as like people who are Tristan. I don't know what language the word Tristan is from. Although actually, the Ben Yehoyada says an interesting thing in the Sefer Ben Yahu. He says the word Tristan can also be broken down into Trei Sin. Trei means two in Aramaic. Sin is like Sinai. So the Bale Tresin, are the Chachamim who are experts in the two Torahs that were given at Har Sinai, Torah Shabbat and Torah Shabbat. Yeah. So that's another explanation of Bale Tresin. Another explanation, the Ben Yoyada says that. Another point is also they're called Bale Tresin because with their schos, they protect the generation, like somebody who has a shield. The Oruch brings an interesting thing, which Marsha brings on Or Gemara over here, that it means literally people who are holding shields. There were times in history when the Goyish kings who ruled over Eretz Yisrael would actually put soldiers at the disposal of the Nasi so that he could enforce his rulings. So according to that, then Ram Gamliel was telling him that the Oruch says that. The Oruch says that, and Marsha brings it on. He mentions Malchei Yavam, the Greek kings. I mean, in Ram Gamliel's times, they're not under Greek domination anymore. They're under the Romans, but I guess maybe at times they kept the same kind of thing. So anyway, so Rav Gamliel, the bottom line is Rav Gamliel was telling the Tzadik, wait till we get into the Beis HaMikdash and we'll straighten this out. Kivin shenichnasu l'Beis HaMikdash, when they came into the Beis HaMikdash, Amar Hashoel v'Shaal, the one who was asking the question, the Pashtus meaning the Tzadik, got up and asked, Klum chilakna min chavar l'ama'aret, do we make a distinction between a chavar and an ama'aret in this din? Amar Rav Yeshua lav. So Rav Yeshua says no. Now again, the question is, how is Rav Yeshua speaking up first? So here, Rav Yaakov Emden points out that you have a similar story in Brachas, the famous story over there with Philip Albert's Rishus, where it actually adds a line and that says that first Rav Gamliel said no, and then that first Rav Gamliel said that first Rav Gamliel said no. So it wasn't Rav Yeshua speaking out of turn. So over here also, it may be the same kind of thing.
Why should it stop it?
Because if the Nazi speaks first, Gavashis. Okay, Amale Rav Gamliel. So Rav Gamliel says again, in the Gemara in Brachos over there, the way it is, there's like a line or two missing from our Gemara over here, says Rav Yaakov Emden, that over there it says that he asked the question, and Rav Gamliel says that in that case, Philosophus Rishu says Choyva, he says Choyva, does anybody disagree? And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, I don't disagree, and then continues from here. Okay, so Rabbi Yeshua says no. Now, does that mean that, okay, so one second, so Rabbi Yeshua says no. Amale Rav Gamliel v'alem shimcha omru lihein. Didn't they tell me in your name that you said yes? What's going on over here? Yehoshua. Amoid araglecha v'ya'idu b'chol. Stand up on your feet and we'll give testimony against you. Okay, Tosfos says the words v'ya'idu b'chol don't really belong over here because nobody has to testify against them. Just amoid araglecha, stand up because I'm not giving, right now you need to stand up. I'm not giving you permission just to sit down at the moment. Wait, well, we'll talk in a minute why you did that. Amad Rav Yeshua, well, stand up in order to speak and explain yourself, basically.
Yeah,
okay, wait. Omar Rabbi Yeshua Raglo, Rabbi Yeshua got up, but Omar, he says, Heyach Esse, so now what should I do? If I was alive and the one who was asking the Shiloh was dead, then I would have the last word. I could contradict him and say that I didn't say that, or Rashi says that I could have said, I could have denied it. I could have said I never said such a thing. But I'm alive and he's alive. How can one living person contradict the other living person? Yes. So Rashi learns that. The point is, Rabbi Yeshua. Well, so actually, Rashi learns over here that Rabbi Yeshua is in effect saying, "I changed my mind. So I can't deny that I originally said that I held that it's mutter. But now that I know that I'm going to be able to say otherwise, then I changed my mind." So in that case, if Rav Tzadik hadn't been there and he hadn't said what Rabbi Yeshua said, Rabbi Yeshua could have claimed that I hold that it's not Mutter. He wouldn't have had to say what he said originally. Okay, Tosfos disagrees with that. Tosfos says it doesn't mean that Rabbi Yeshua changed his mind. Just Rabbi Yeshua meant I thought I could get away with it. I thought I wouldn't be called on it. And now I'm being called on it in public, so I have no choice but to admit. V'hoyram Gamliel Oymed B'Dodesh. So now the continuation is Rabbi Gamliel was continuing darshaning, not Oymed really. Shittim Kabbalah says it's supposed to be Yosha B'Dodesh. He's sitting and darshaning because that's usually what the Rosh Hashiva does. But Rabbi Yeshua Oymed Aragla. Rabbi Yeshua remains standing because Rabbi Gamliel hadn't given him permission to sit down. The Nazi tells you to stand up. You stand up until you're given permission to sit down. Ad shirininu kol ha'om, until everybody started crying out at the way Rabbi Yeshua is being treated. V'omru l'chutzpes ha'metorgaman amoid, they told Rabbi Chutzpes ha'metorgaman, who was translating and explaining Rabbi Gamliel's drasha, amoid, stop. V'omad, and he stopped, and he stopped speaking. But the Gemara mentions in Brachot, well, it means, in other words, they told him, they were so upset, they didn't want Rabbi Gamliel to go on with his drasha, so they told Rabbi Chutzpes ha'metorgaman to stop translating it, and once he stops translating, Rabbi Gamliel is going to stop darshaning. So they were looking out for Rabbi Yeshua's honor. They felt Rabbi Gamliel is treating Rabbi Yeshua very disrespectfully. Now, one second. So now, Rabbi Yaakov Emden continues with his explanation. What was Rabbi Gamliel thinking over here? This is basically Rabbi Gamliel wanted as much as possible that there should not be machlokas among the Chachamim. And in fact, historically, this was a period, there up till that point, there hadn't really been very much machlokas among the Chachamim. So now, especially shortly after the Churban, Rabbi Gamliel wanted that there should be uniformity in halacha. There shouldn't be different opinions floating around over there. So therefore, he wants to make an example of Rabbi Yeshua in order that, especially, he said, Rabbi Yeshua shouldn't really have passed him in the first place when Rabbi Gamliel was around. So therefore, Rabbi Gamliel felt he has to make an example of Rabbi Yeshua in order that people should realize not to do that. And this way the Torah won't end up bifurcating into different opinions. However, the other people still felt that Rabbi Gamliel was being too overbearing on Rabbi Yeshua in doing that and making him stand the whole time without giving him permission to sit. So you actually have, in Brachos, the Gemara tells us the aftermath of this. The Gemara tells us, in Brachos, you have a famous story with Philip Abbas Rishus, where they deposed Rabbi Gamliel, and they actually said this is the third time that Rabbi Gamliel has treated Rabbi Yeshua in a seemingly disrespectful way like that. The first one is in Rosh Hashanah, the story over there, where you had an argument between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, whether Adim that came to testify about that they saw the new moon, whether they were telling the truth or not. Rabbi Gamliel said they're not. So Rabbi Gamliel accepted them. Rabbi Yeshua said they're liars. So then Rabbi Gamliel tells Rabbi Yeshua, I want you to come to me with your walking stick and with your money bag on the day that you claim to be Yom Kippur. But the way that I and the Beis Din have decided when Rosh Hashanah is, it's not Yom Kippur. So
a special day?
Well, not a special day. No. What it was is, in other words, you had Adim had come and claimed they saw the new moon. And if that's true, then it would mean that Elul was 29 days. And let's say Rosh Hashanah, and then Rosh Hashanah, let's say, was a Sunday, let's say, and Yom Kippur is next week, Tuesday. And if they're not telling the truth, then Rosh Hashanah is a day later, Monday, and Yom Kippur is a day later, Wednesday. So Rabbi Yeshua held their false Adim. Therefore, according to him, Yom Kippur would have to be on Wednesday, let's say. According to Rabbi Gamliel, they're telling the truth because he calculated that what they said they saw is astronomically possible. Therefore, according to him, Yom Kippur would be Tuesday. So he's telling Rabbi Yeshua, you think that next week, Wednesday, is supposed to be Yom Kippur. I'm telling you it's not. It's the day after Yom Kippur because that's how we passed him, because that's how we've declared Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, on that Wednesday, I want you to come to me with your money bag and your walking stick, treating it as a weekday, in other words, to make a public demonstration that you agree with the basic facts. So that was one. Then you have the story with the subject. So that's so Rabbi Yeshua did it. First, the Mishnah says Rabbi Yeshua was very upset, and he went to Rabbi Akiva, met him, and both of them explained to him that he has to go ahead and do it. He has to listen to Rabbi Gamliel. So he went ahead and did it.
Even for him, it was Yom Kippur.
No, for him, it wasn't Yom Kippur. His according to his calculations, that would be Yom Kippur. But the point is that according to the Beis Din's calculations, it was not. In particular, Rabbi Akiva pointed out to him, after Machlokes HaShogim, after Machlokes HaMezidim, even if Beis Din declares Rosh Chodesh or Rosh Hashanah on what seems to be the wrong date, nevertheless, you have to follow them. So that was a big public thing for Rabbi Yeshua. The second one is the story of Rabbi Tzaddik. The third one is the Tefillah of Abbas Rishus, where again Rabbi Gamliel told Rabbi Yeshua to stand and made him continue standing. And at that point, people were fed up with it, and that's when they deposed Rabbi Gamliel and appointed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah as Nasi and the whole story over there.
How did it go? They just voted out?
I guess the Chachamim and the Beis Medrash voted, I guess, yeah. I don't know. Okay.
And Rabbi Yehoshua stayed.
So Rabbi Yehoshua stayed. Rabbi Gamliel also stayed. The Gemara says even though Rabbi Gamliel was deposed, he still remained as one of the Chachamim of the Beis Medrash. He didn't sulk and go found his own Beis Medrash or something. Our Chachamim are not politicians, Wahabdil or whatever. No, he stayed as one of the regular members of the Beis Medrash. Eventually, the Gemara says they reinstated him with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah as his colleague. You know the whole long story over there. Okay. All right. Mishnah says, Now, we said that a Kohen is not trustworthy if he says that a mum happened in the animal because he might have made the mum himself. However, the Kohen is trusted to say, he's trusted to say, I showed this b'chor to a chacham, and he told me that it's a mum kavua, and that I'm able to shecht it. Well, so Rashi learns that we're talking about, he still needs Edim that he didn't make the mum in it. But once he says that he took it to a chacham, then we can accept him. The Rosh actually learns differently. The Rosh says he may not even need it. The very fact, because automatically if he brings it to a chacham, the chacham is going to interrogate him. How did this mum happen? And he's going to need some kind of evidence. So therefore, once he says, then okay. So Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda Amar Rab, Neman a Kohen Lomar. Here's a similar din. A Kohen is also trusted to say b'chor zeh nosam liyisrael b'mumay. That we trust the Kohen to say that the Yisroel gave me this Kohen, gave me this Bechor, when it already had a Mum on it. My timer, now why is that? Because you have a concept in Halacha, Kol Milsa David Eligluyi, anything which can easily be found out, namely in this case, anything that can easily be found out, Loi Meshakri, but initially people are not going to lie about, because if it can easily be verified, people would be embarrassed to lie about. By the way, you have a famous, well, unfortunately nowadays, you see that's not always the case. You have a famous expression, I believe that Eber quoted it sometimes also, that says, we say over here, like a shakri, but inshi. However, unfortunately, not everybody deserves to be called inshi people. Okay, anyway, the point is you have that chazaka that people don't usually buy. No, it's not so obvious, but there will be. There is, by the way, there is a machloikus among the poskim. Are we talking about, and this would apply both to the Mishnah when he says, I showed it to a chacham, and to the Gemara over here when we're talking about he showed it to a Yisrael, that he got it from a Yisrael, does he have to mention the particular chacham or the particular Yisrael in order to be trusted or not? So one argument is, he has to, because otherwise how are we going to know? The counter argument is, on the other hand, he might be concerned, even if he doesn't mention a name, but we might ask him, okay, you showed it to a chacham, which one? Tell us, and he's going to have to give a name, and then we can go ask that chacham, and then he's going to say that not. Yeah. So there is that discussion among the poskim, and it's in the notes of Kalim on Shulchan Aruch, whether you have different opinions about it among the poskim. I'm not sure what the halacha is. One thing is, Taz talks about at length, Shach talks about that maybe there are other earlier poskim also talk about maybe there's a difference between whether it's an obvious mum or not. If it's a more obvious mum, then maybe he might try to get away with it, because why would anybody bother asking him on an obvious mum which chacham was master it when it's a very obvious mum? Whereas if it's a less obvious mum, they're more likely to ask him which chacham. Amar Ravashi, so Ravashi says, we can prove this din of Rabbi Yehuda is afanan nami tanena, because we see in our Mishnah, neman akoyin loyma harasis it b'chor zeh b'amamu. So similar din, that we trust him. My time, and now why do we trust him in our Mishnah? Lav mishum damrinim kol milta david eleigoy la mishapri v'inshi. Wouldn't it be the pashtos for the same reason? Because something that can easily be found out, we can easily call up the chacham and say, will you really master it? And he'll say yes or no. Therefore, people won't lie. So the same rule would apply to Rabbi Yehuda's din. However, the Gemara says that's not a solid proof. No, halsim hu dekodshim b'chutz lo'ochel. The difference is, in the Mishnah, you can trust him because, of course, he showed it to a chacham. He's not going to be over on something that's going to make him chayav koros. He knows if he doesn't have a mum kavua, he's not allowed to shecht it, and if he does, he's chayav koros. So therefore, he's going to take it seriously and he's going to ask the chacham. On the other hand, aval hacha, but when it comes to Rav Yehuda's din, where the question is just, did he himself make the mum in it or not? That is, kibben de chashidi, since Kohenim are suspect about such things, chashidi, we still suspect him, and therefore maybe the fact that he said, I got it from Yisrael, and maybe even the fact that he says Yisrael's name, maybe is not enough.
So it's much worse to eat.
It's much worse to shech the b'chor and eat it when it doesn't have a mum, versus to make a mum in it, which is only an isur lav. Right. Okay. Okay, the Gemara says, Mosi Rav Shizbi. Okay, Rav Shizbi says, I have a contradiction to this, though. If you're telling me this concept of kol milta da'avidu l'gluya l'meshakri ba'inshi, and you're telling me therefore Rabbi Yehuda's din, but I have a contradiction to that from a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Ha'oimer l'misha ein neman al ha'maiser. If a person says, somebody who is an Amoretz, who himself is not trustworthy to take maiser from his produce, but he tells him, kachli mimisha hu neman, buy me some food from some produce from somebody who is neman, who is trustworthy, oy mimisha hu ma'aser, or from somebody who does regularly take maiser, ein neman. So then when the shliach comes back and says, yes, I bought it from a neman, we don't trust him. We don't trust him. Am I? Now, why wouldn't we trust him? Shouldn't it be name a kol milta David eloy and a shakri ba'inchi? Wouldn't we say the same thing? The mishalayach can ask him, so who do you buy by? And he's going to mention a name, and he can ask him, and then he's going to say, I never sold to this guy, etc. Why would we not believe the shliach? The answer is shiny hosam. Yeah, but it's different in that case. The Israeli ishtamut, because he has a built-in excuse. Because he could say, yes, so what's going to happen? The shliach is going to come and say, I bought by a name. Even let's say he gives a name, or whether he gives it spontaneously, or whether the guy asks him, whatever. He calls up the guy and so, 1 second. So he's going to say, wait a minute, he's not a Naaman. He's not a Naaman. What are you doing buying from him? So the Amma Oret, the shliach can say, you don't call him a Naaman. As far as I'm concerned, he's a Naaman. In other words, it's not a question of, it's not just plain facts. It's also a judgment call. Is the guy Naaman or not? And he can always claim, as far as I consider him to be trustworthy. So therefore, that's different. Okay, the Gemara says, Sefer Vada Misai. Now, okay, so actually there we're not talking about there was a specific person. He just said generally Naaman. So therefore, we're saying to buy from a Naaman, so we don't trust him. On the other hand, Sefer Vada Misai. On the other hand,
okay, he can judge whether he's Naaman or not.
Well, no, obviously he can't, I'll be Alocha, but he at least has that excuse, so it's not Milsa David Eloy. On the other hand, Sefer, the continuation of that mission of Vada Mesayale, there we can see a clearer proof for Rabbi Yehuda's din, because the Mishnah continues over there, that if the Mishalayah tells him, Me'ish Ploini, that I want you to buy from such and such a person, he mentions a specific person that I want you to buy by, Hareza Nem, and then when he comes back and says, I bought from him, then we believe him, because again, he can call him up and say, yeah. So therefore, that would be a solid proof. On the other hand, the Gemara says, not necessarily is that such a solid proof, because Hossam, in that case, given the Isla Tevea, because there what you have is, yes, the reason why the Shliach is afraid to lie, it's not just on the grounds of Milsa David Elevoy. It's also because the Mishalayach mentioned a particular person, so there is a Tevea. He knows that he can very well cross-examine him and find out, did he actually go to this guy? Nirtas, therefore, he's afraid to. As opposed to over here, because the very fact that he said, I want you to buy by Pliny, and he has a financial stake in it, it's going to make him ask, did you actually buy from that Pliny, so I know I don't have to take my from it. As opposed to, in our case over here, in Rabbi Yehuda's case, the Kohen may think he can get away with the lie, because, okay, yes, conceivably somebody could ask that Yisrael, did it actually have a mum before you gave it to the Kohen, but the Kohen might figure, why? It's nobody else's business. Why would they bother asking this Yisrael, just stand out of idle curiosity? So therefore, he might think he could get away with it. So not necessarily is there a proof from that Mishnah that a person can be mutter on the grounds of Milsa David Elei Gluyi, or can be trustworthy on the grounds of Milsa David Elei Gluyi, maybe only when it's not only Milsa David Elei Gluyi, but when he knows that the other guy has a reason to ask. Whereas over here, if a Kohen says, I got this bechor with a mum from a Yisrael, and even if he mentions a particular Yisrael, he might say, yeah, no, why would the other guy? Why the other guy was asking him? Is it not going
to
bother asking him?
To
when
it's not an Israel?
Maybe if he wants to sell it to somebody else or whatever, but Sam, if the coin has it in his possession, he's going to be shechting and eating it. And somebody asks him, hey, that's a nice looking bechor. Where'd you get it from? Oh, I got it from Pliny, the Israel, and it came with a mum. Is the guy going to bother going to that Israel and asking? Not necessarily.
Well, it's the first time.
No, why would he bother? Yisrael, Sam on the street, sees the Kohen with this Bechor that he's getting ready to share. Sam out of idle curiosity, asks him, how do you come to have it? He's not necessarily going
to
go follow up and ask. As opposed to with the case of the Amma Oretz and the produce, where the person tells the Amma Oretz, go by Pliny's store. Later on, when he comes back, he's going to ask him, actually, he's going to be sure to ask him, did you actually go to Pliny's store?
Because he wanted
food that was my food. Yeah. That's the difference. Okay. So it's not necessarily a solid proof to Rabbi Yehuda's din. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba. So Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba asks, where is Rabbi Yehuda getting this din from anyway? Menolei Yehuda ha. Where did Yehuda, he was a colleague of Rabbi Yehuda, so he just calls him by his first name, where did he get this din that if a Kohen says, I got it from Yisrael, then we can, with a mum, then we can trust him? Ha anob gidol kvatia, I myself, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba says, I taught this din to Gidul. Kvatiyah literally means I established it. In other words, I established that Gidul should know that this is how it is.
Kavua.
Yeah, I made it Kavua for Gidul. I taught Gidul, which is the name of Chacham, this din. The Gidul Kavah B'Didei. And Gidul taught it to Rabbi Yehuda, but he taught it in his own words. So Gidul didn't necessarily represent correctly the din the way I said it. Bahachi Omrele, this is Bahachi Amrele, this is what I actually told Gidul to begin with, a little bit different than Rabbi Yehuda's din. That's the other way around. Neman Yisrael loyma b'chorzen, asati l'koyin b'mumay. That Yisrael can be believed to say that when I gave this b'chor to a koyin, it had a mum on it. So Gidul, so Rabbi Yehuda Abba is saying, Gidul got it backwards. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is getting it backwards, that the Koyan, that saying that the Koyan can be trusted. No, what I said is the Yisrael can be trusted to say that I gave it to the Koyan with a mum. Like much as Pshita, wouldn't that be obvious? So the Yisrael was not kosher to make a mum in it. Why would there be a problem? The answer is loy tzricha, because on the Hibdil. Suppose the animal was small. Suppose it was a baby when he first gave it to the Koyan, and now it got older. Let's say it was a sheep, and now it grew up, and now it's a ram. You would think that maybe you wouldn't trust the Yisrael because not necessarily is he going to recognize the animal and be able to know that it's the same, that it's the same one. So maybe then the Kohen actually made a mum in it. Kamash Malan, and that would be Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba's Chiddush, that even in that case we trust the Yisrael.
When
a Yisrael gives a baby sheep to a Kohen.
With a mum.
Later on it grows and eventually now it looks much different. It becomes a ram instead of a sheep.
Okay.
Now the Kohen claim, the Yisrael hasn't seen it as since. Now one day, the Yisrael says, you should know that Bechor that I gave to so-and-so, the Kohen, had a mum in it, and the Kohen would actually be able to, once he finds the Chacham, then he'll be able to go and get it shown to the Chacham, and he should be mutter to eat. So then we can say, we can trust the Yisrael, even though he might not recognize the same animal. Actually what we're talking about is, let's say, for example, for now, a year later, 2 years later, whatever, the Kohen finally decides he wants to shecht it, so he takes it to a Chacham. The Yisrael comes and says, yes, this is the same animal that I gave him, and it had a mum at the time. So we're saying we can believe him even though he might not recognize that it's the same animal, because we assume he will recognize it.
And why do we believe him?
Because he's a Yisrael, and Yisrael is not Hoshul.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the point. That's Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba's Chiddush, but not necessarily is that the same as Rabbi Yehuda's din, saying that the Kohen himself can be believed.
Right.
Yeah.
So
we say that, yeah, it had a mum when he gave it to the Kohen. So he doesn't have a shad of that he made the mum himself. All the Chacham has to do is decide if it's a mum kavur or mum over, and then we're good. Rabbi Gershon, by the way, has a different explanation of Kotzin and Gadol. He says, let's say the Yisrael gave it to the Kohen when the Yisrael was a kid, and now the Yisrael is grown up. So again, you might think maybe he wasn't so clear about it then, but no, Kamash Kolon. Okay, so what is the halacha? The Gemara says, Bisura Masnu Pelishna Basra. In Surah, they learned this din according to the second Lashon, according to the way Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba originally said it, which is that the Yisrael can be trusted, but not the Kohen. But Pumbedisa Kalishna Kama. In Pumbedisa, they learned it according to the first Lashon, the way that Rabbi Yehuda said it,
which is
that the Kohen can be believed, because Milsa David Alevoy. The Hilchsaf, the Kalishna Kama, and the Halacha indeed is that even the first Lashon is acceptable, and yes, the Kohen can be trusted if it's a case of Milsa David Alevoy. So again, you have a Machloikas, a Poskim, whether he has to actually name a particular Yisrael that he got it from, or whether it's just enough that he says, I got it from a Yisrael. But the basic concept applies, that the Kohen can be believed under the appropriate circumstances to say that he got it from Yisrael with a mum already. Okay. So the Gemara tells a case. Rafram b'pumpedisa, mi pumpedisa, Rafram, the name of one of the Chachamim, lived from Pumpedisa, Havale Bukhara, he was a Yisrael, so he had a Bukhara, the Yavele Lakoyan Beloy Mumma, he gave it to a Koyan from the city, and it did not have a mum at the time, which means the Koyan is going to have to keep the animal till it eventually develops a mum, and of course the Koyan is koshered on that, as we've talked about all this time. Ozol Shodabe Mumma, the Koyan went and made a mum on the animal. Yoimachad Cholash Ve'ene, one time, Rafram, the original owner of the animal, had an eye ache. He had an infection in his eyes. Cholash Ve'ene means he was sick with his eyes, yeah. So he had an eye infection or whatever. And at that point, the Kohen chose that time to bring this Bechor to Rafram to find out whether it's a Mum Kavua, figuring that Rafram, now I have my chance. Rafram's eyes aren't well, therefore he's not going to, aren't working as well, therefore he's not going to recognize me, and he's not going to recognize the animal. So Amalei and the Kohen lies to Raphra. He says, "B'chor zeh nosam liYisrael b'mumah." This b'chor was given to me by Yisrael with a mum. So what happened? Ar pesinei le'enei. So Raphra forced his eyes open. Like this, he had something that made it hard for him to open them normally. Maybe he forced them open to be able to attack a sea killer. Chazye b'shikrei. And he saw the lie. He saw that, no, he had given it's the same animal and the same coin, and it's the one that he had given him without a bone. Tosfos punctuates the word b'shikre differently. Tosfos punctuates it bashkere, which means he recognized him. Chazia just means he saw him like a glance. Bashkere means he recognized him. Okay, anyway. Omalei, and Rafram tells him, what do you think you're doing? Lava nodi abitelo. I'm the very one who gave it. Aren't I the one who gave it to you? What kind of a chutzpah are you doing? Nevertheless, that didn't cause Raphram to change his din and say that we should not trust the Kohen to say Bechor zeh nosam liYisrael b'mumah. Now, we said before, in Pupadissa, they learned, like the Loshen, that a Kohen is trustworthy on that. Raphram is from Pupadissa. Nevertheless, he didn't change his mind on the general halacha, because he figured, Hai hu dechotzit. This Kohen is particularly chutzpahdik in two ways. Number one, to make a mum in it, which he shouldn't have done in the first place. And number two, that at least he should have shown it to another chassam. Why is he even risking anything showing it to me, the very one who gave it to him? Kula amalei chatzifi. Not everybody else, all the Kohenim, they're not so chotzif. They might be chotzif enough to make a mum. They're not so chotzif that they're going to try getting away. Yeah, so, in other words, and the point is, again, milsa david ele gluye, when you have something that lie can be easily recognized, as it was in this case, most people are going to hold back from telling, from lying about it. Okay. And that's the halacha. Another case, how so a kohen is trustworthy when he says that I got it from a Yisrael with a mum, again, subject to the machlokas, whether he mentions a particular Yisrael or not.
If he doesn't.
That's the machlokas. So that's the machlokas of poskim, whether it's acceptable if he just says I got it from a Yisrael, or does he have to say I got it from a Yisrael plain. Another case, Hahu Sarua de Osala Kame Diravashi. There was a case of an animal that was Sarua. Sarua, we're going to learn about in the next parak, is where you have various organs in the body that are supposed to be more or less the same size, and you have one is much bigger than the other. In particular, Rashi says over here that it had one eye bigger than the other. So that's a mum. Omar, Saravashi says, well, my name, and it was a Korean of Rort Saravashi. So Omar, Saravashi says, well, my nechushla. Lamai Nechoshle, what? No, we had that concept before, yeah, but yeah. So Rav Ashi says, my Lamai Nechoshle, what should be the concern? E koyin hu Yisrael hu. Who cares for this particular purpose, whether it's a koyin? He didn't know this person is bringing the animal to him, if it's a koyin or Yisrael. It doesn't really matter, even if he's a koyin. Harei b'chorum mumayimah. This is obviously congenital mum. The animal was born that way. There's no possibility the koyin made this mum. So therefore, even if the guy is a koyin, We should believe him. And Amalei Ravina l'Ravashi. However, Ravina says to Ravashi, but isn't there a different problem? Fine, that takes care of the possibility that he's a Kohen. But you still have to be concerned that he might be a Yisrael, and you have a different problem in that case. But Amalei Yehuda, Ein Royin B'chor Yisrael Eleim Ken Kohen Imai. You're not allowed to see and check the mum of a B'chor that belongs to a Yisrael unless the Kohen is with him. Why is that? Because the Yisrael, he's not going to eat kodesh and bachutz, therefore he wants to find out whether it has a mum. But we are choshish on gezel. He may figure, once he finds that it has a mum, why should I bother giving it to the kohen? I can shecht it and eat it myself. It's not the, yes, it's matnes kohona, but he might try to steal the matnes kohona from and not give it to the kohen.
But he cannot.
No, he's not chayav kares. No, he's chayav kares only if he shechts it when it's a tam or bal mum over bachutz. Here it has a mum. But that once he finds that it has a mum, he may think to himself, okay, well, now it's just a matter of money. Why should I give it to the kohen? Why should I have to spend money? Yeah, I might as well shecht and eat it myself.
So he needs to have
a kohen with him, so that as soon as the chacham says it's mutter, the kohen can take it and shecht it. So Ravina is telling Ravashi, fine, yes, it's a congenital mum. There's no problem of the kohen having made the mum. But isn't there the problem if the guy is a Yisrael that he may not give it to the kohen?
What's it going to say? If he's got such a shock, he could have just shechted it without asking.
If he shechted it without asking, then again, it would be kodesh b'chutz. But, yeah. No, well, actually, that's actually, no, I'm sorry. No, that's going to be the answer, actually. Omale, so Rav Ashi tells Ravina, Hochi Hashta, what kind of a comparison is that? Hossam, in that case, in the general case where Yisroel comes with a Bechor, with a Mum, and you're saying you have to have a Kohen along with him, Nihi de Kodshim Bachutz Lai Ocho, granted the Yisroel is not going to try eating Kodshim Bachutz because it's an Issa Kodesh, I'm a Mona de Kohen Choshid, but we could still say that he's suspect of taking it away from the Kohen, in a general case. But Hocha, in a general case of a Bechor with a Mum, where he has to go to ask a Shaila whether it's a Mum Kavua or a Mum Over, because if it's not a Mum Kavua, then he can't shecht it at all because he'd be Chayv Kodesh. Hocha, but over here, let's consider. Mechti yoda dahaim mum mumaku. He knows perfectly well, this is a very obvious mum. Technically, in principle, he wouldn't have needed to bring it to a chacham. If he was just going to keep it for himself, he didn't have to bother bringing it to the chacham at all. My time asiru kamei rabbanon. Why did he actually bring it to the chacham? Mishum kvoda de chacham. He must have done it to give honor to the chacham, to show that even when it's a mum, even when it's an obvious mum, he's actually going to go to a chacham. He's not just going to have. We're going to say at the bottom of the omud that if you don't have a chacham around, you can have shlosha b'nei knesses. The point is, he went to the trouble of finding a chacham. Therefore, the logic is al kvoda de chacham like avar. So he's not going to be over even on the covered of the chacham. Isura and go to common people when there's a chacham available. Isura avad. Should we assume that he would do the isur of stealing from the kohen? No, we shouldn't assume that. Therefore, we can allow it. Therefore, even if he's Yisrael, there's no problem. The very fact that he came to a chacham shows that he
could have stayed without
showing. On the other hand, but the point is, only because it's such an obvious mum. If it was a case where it's not sure whether it's mum kabur or mum over, then that wouldn't work. Because then the reason he's bringing it to the chacham is not necessarily because of the covet of the chacham, but because he knows there's serious consequences if it's not a mum kavua. Yeah.
And if it's a mum kavua, and it's an obvious mum, everybody will see it, everybody will know it, or...
No, but the point is, if it's an obvious mum, you still have the question, is it a mum kavua or is it a mum over?
Right.
In this case, obviously a mum kavua, because it was born that way, and it's going to be that way its whole life. But in other cases, maybe it's going to heal, maybe not. In the next paragraph, we're going to talk about where it is. Mishnah says, "Hakol ne'monin al mumim ma'aser." Now, here we've been talking all this time about mumim of bechor. Everybody, kohenim, levim, or yisraelim, is trustworthy about a mum on ma'aser behema. That the mum happened on its own, and therefore that you can check it and eat it. Rashi mentions a point that we're talking about over here about sofik ma'aser, because you have, for example, a case where sofik ma'aser. For example, we're going to learn in the last parak, we're going to talk about the famous case where you accidentally called the ninth animal that came out. You accidentally called it number 10. The din is you can't bring that as a korban. You have to wait until it develops some more. So the Maharit of Ghazi makes an interesting point. He says, why does Rashi say like that? Why doesn't he say we're talking about Vadei Meiser? He says like this, because if it's Vadei Meiser, and we're talking in the times of the Beis Mikdash, then there's no reason that we would suspect anybody of making a mum in it, or a bechor for that matter, because you can bring it as a korban. Yeah, yeah. The bechor is eaten by the korban, and Meiser is eaten by anybody. Yeah. No, fine, but the Meiser, but that's what we were talking about, the Kohen making a Mum and a Bechor, and we're talking about anybody making a Mum and a Meiser. The point is, the Maharit al-Ghazi says that when you're talking about something which you could bring as a Korban, there's no reason to be choshed anybody's going to make a Mum in it. Because why? If their whole point is that they want to be able to eat it rather than keeping it indefinitely, they don't have to keep it indefinitely. Go to the Beis Mikdash and bring it as a Korban. So therefore, the only concern would be when there's no Beis Mikdash to bring it, when it can't be brought as a Korban. So with a Bechor, that would be nowadays. Ma'aser behemah doesn't exist after the korban, as we'll learn in the last parak. Therefore, the only case that Rashi can find where you would have the situation that we would think that he might make a mum in it, and we're not choshed it, is where it's a sophic ma'aser, where he can't actually bring it as a korban, because it might be, because of the sophic, and therefore he might be tempted to make a mum in it, and we're saying that we don't worry about that.
And if it was not a sophic?
If it wasn't, if it was Vadai, then in the time of the Beis Mikdash, he brings it as Meister, and after the Beis Mikdash is destroyed, there's no more Meister behemah.
But during the time of the Beis Mikdash,
he could bring it as a Korban. And then that's it, then he can eat it.
And he can eat it.
The only thing he can't eat is Ein Morin. Fine, he's not going to.
Yeah, Ein Morin
is a tiny little thing. So the Gemara says, my timer. Now, why is that? By my say, we don't suspect anybody of making a mum. Because, as we said before, because he could make a mum in the animal before it's designated as Meiser. So the question is, what do you mean? He could make a mum in that animal. Mi yoda hei nafik. How does he know which one is going to come out 10th? V'chitema mafik le b'resh asara. So you're going to say, maybe he got to make sure that one with the mum comes out as the 10th one.
Are you allowed to do
that? No, you're not allowed to, because the Pasuk says, lo yivaka ben tovara omar achmana. The Pasuk says, You're not allowed to choose and to distinguish between good, meaning without a mum, and bad, meaning with a mum. You have to just say, come out on their own, and whichever one comes out on its own as the tenth is the one that's Meiser.
But can you tell which animal comes after which animal in the line? Or you let them
go. No, you let them go. You let them go on their own. They have to go on their own. So therefore, so what do you mean? You can make a mumin before that. Ella, no, what we mean is, as we said before, he could, if he so really wanted, he could make a mumin the entire herd before he even starts taking ma'is behemah, and automatically then the animal is going to be mumin. No, but the point is, because he has that out, because he has that ability, he has that way of doing it where he's not doing any iser, therefore we don't assume he's going to try to accomplish the same thing the iser.
That's no iser if he doesn't mumin.
If he doesn't mumin all of them before he takes ma'is, what's the iser in it?
I don't know.
Nothing.
Not a good thing.
Yeah, okay, but if he's doing
it.
No, none. Well, why would there be a lot of it? Nothing. Why would it be a lot? At most, it might be Tab al Chaim. Fine, but again, it's
okay.
Okay, but yeah, because before he takes Meiser, none of them are Kedusha, yeah? So therefore, he has a way, what we assume that when a person has a way of doing something to Heter, he's not going to deliberately choose a different way that's also. Okay. Mishnah says, if a Bechor's eye is blinded, or its leg, or front leg, whatever, is cut off, or its leg is broken. Now, all of these are mum muva. All of these are very obvious mum. Mum kavua, at that. Therefore, therefore, you can have three bnei akneses be matur. Bnei akneses actually just says she'enim chachamim. They're not chachamim. In other words, you don't need a chacham necessarily for it. You have three good Jews who daven and shul and learn that are allowed to be matur. You have a post exactly how learned they need to be, but the point is they don't need to have smicha or anything for this. Rav Yosi says, no, afilu yasham chach gimel, even if you have a Sanhedrin of 23 over there, enim nishchat el api mumcha. You can only shech the bechor based on permission, based on the evaluation of a mumcha. The word mumcha has to see whether it's a mumcha or not. The word mumcha has a double meaning. It means, Tosfos discusses it over here, it means, number one, that he has the expertise to know what is a mumcha and what is not, and number two, that he got permission from the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael to do that, which in that case, in the Torah, and in Shulchan Aruch, it says in that case, nowadays, we have no mumcha, because there's no Nasi, exactly. And even if at the time, they had. But also in general, we say in these kinds of things in halacha, we don't have that kind of expertise.
Go to
Yerushalayim. The Nasi would travel around sometimes. The Nasi wasn't bound to be in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara starts off. Reb Simloi and Reb Yehuda Nesia Tavayu Mishmeid Reb Shurban Levi Amri. Reb Simloi and Reb Yehuda Nesia together said the following din in the name of Reb Shurban Levi. The Amri law, or a different version of the Chachamim's name, switches them around a little bit. Reb Simloi, Reb Yeshurban Levi, Tavayim Mishum, Reb Yehuda Nesia Amri. The second version is that Reb Simloi and Reb Yeshurban Levi are both saying in the name of Reb Yehuda Nesia. It could be also we're talking about different Reb Yehuda Nesias. There were a few of them, so it could be the first version is talking about the second one, and the second version is talking about the first one. Whatever. Anyway, they said, Hatoras Bechor Bechut La'aretz Al Pi Shloisha Bnei Akneset, to be matter a Bechor outside Eretz Yisrael, where it can't be brought as a korban, because even in the time of the Bais Mikdash, and even if it's a tam, you don't bring a Bechor from outside Eretz Yisrael to bring as a korban in the Bais Mikdash. Therefore, you can be matter it.
It has to be grown in Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, in order to be brought as a korban, right? You actually have, because that's how it is. You actually have a discussion about it in Tzmura. You have an opinion to the contrary, but that's the halacha. So therefore, you don't need a mumcha for that. Therefore, all you need in Chutzlar is a shloish of an akne. Amar Rava over mumin muvakin. Rava says, however, that heter would only apply if it's a mum muvak, only if it's a clear, obvious mum, not only an obvious mum. Now again, in the next paragraph, we're going to learn about certain kinds of mumin that could be temporary or they could be permanent. So therefore, yeah. So the question is, so here we're talking about the obvious, obviously permanent ones. What is my kamash mulam? What's Rava's chiddush? Kamash mulam? My kamash mulam? Tanena? That only a mum mulam? Tanena? We said in our mission, shenis mitena, shenikter yadav, shenishber ragloi, harezi yishachat api gimel bnei akneses. So what's Rava adding to that? The answer is imim asnitim. Yes, but if we only had the mission, I have amen b'chutz la'aretz after the mumin she'ein mukakin. Then you could argue that maybe the mission is only talking about in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe in chutz la'aretz you could be even more makel, since you anyway can't bring it as a korban, and you can be matu even when it's a mum she'ein mukak, even when it's not such an obvious mum that it's going to be permanent. V'hai dekatoni mukakin, and you would say the reason why the Mishnah focuses on when it's a mum mukak, you would say la'hodiyah ha'koicha de Rav Yosi, to tell you how far Rav Yosi goes in being matmer, that even when it's a mum mukak, even when the leg is broken, is cut off or whatever, he still says you need a mumcha. So therefore, kamash malon, that is why Rava wants to inform us that no, this heter of even according to the chachamim, the heter of the heter of doing it in chutz la'aretz, also of doing it by shloshim mei akneses, also only applies to mumin mubhakim. You shouldn't think that maybe the Chachamim would allow it even by Mum She'enei Muvach. No, even in Chutz La'aretz it needs to be a Mum Muvach in order for Shloshah B'nei Knesset to be Matzah.
Anything else you need a Mum?
If it's not Muvach, you need a Mum. So the result is, since nowadays we don't have a Mumcha, so the Halacha is that only a Mum Muvach, but you can only have Shloshah B'nei Knesset. Well, so actually, the question is, what is considered Muvach or not? The Rambam mentions just the three in our Mishnah, where the eye is blinded, the leg is chopped off, or the front leg is chopped off, or the back leg is broken. The in Shulchan Aruch it adds one more, which is also if its ear is nicked. So according to them, it comes out only those four would be considered a mumuvak. Anything else would not. On the other hand, the Tur gives a very, very long list. The Tur goes through most of the mumim in the next parak and classifies most of them as mumuvak. There's a few of them that he classifies. Most of them we're going to learn in the next mumim. Most of the ones that we're going to learn in the next parak, we have like 50 mumim over there. That kind of like 50 or 70. I don't remember what it is exactly yet. That can apply to animals. So the Tur understands that most of them are considered a mum mubak. They're definitely not, it's definitely not going to heal, and therefore it's mutter. There's only a few of them that he says would be considered a mum shayne mubak. So it comes out, according to the tour, you had, and the Ramah says, you know, maybe l'chatchila you should be machmer like the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, but if you want to follow the tour, then fine, there's no harm in it, he says. Okay. Fair.